see some people are taking off their coats, so it means there's a little more heat in this place. Glad to see that. So we got more than one scripture reading this morning. The focus will be a little later on Exodus chapter 33. But I'm going to open with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, do a little introduction, and I'll get to that grace. And then at the end, we'll do just one little verse from John chapter 1. But the focus will be on Exodus chapter 33. I'm sure all of you will agree with me that in our lives, we have to make a lot of decisions. It's just part of life, making decisions. Making decisions will impact your life, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. Just this morning, as you sit here, you've made quite a few decisions. Number one was, am I going to get out of bed or am I going to stay in bed? You made a good decision, you got out. Second decision, am I going to go to church or are we going to go to 50s for breakfast? I'm glad you came to church, you can go to 50s after. Maybe you still have another one to make. What are we going to do after church? Are we going to go home and just hang out as a family? Or are we going to go visit with friends, family? Decisions. These are easy ones that I spoke about. Let's take it a little further. There are decisions that we make that will change our lives. And these decisions will often take us down different paths. Some of the decisions will take me down the path where I become more and more of that person that God wants me to be. Unfortunately, sometimes we also make decisions that will take us down a path that makes me less of that person that God intends me to be. The question is, what decision am I going to make? So to help us with this introduction, I'm going to take you to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm only going to read one verse, but let me give you a little background on 1 Corinthians 10. Corinthians, I think they were Paul's problem children. Boy, they gave him a hard time if you go read that. But I think it was also good because so many of the things they ask are the things we ask too, and that helps us with what Paul wrote. Chapter 10 is one where he speaks about sitting at the table of the Lord. And then they have the second question coming to him where they say, so Paul, we have friends who are not Christians. We have pagan friends. And they often invite us to come sit with them and eat with them. But we're a little concerned about this because we don't know what they've done with the food before they bring it to us. Did they sacrifice some of this food to the pagan gods and did they dedicate this food to the pagan gods? So what do we do? Do we eat with them or don't we eat with them? Do we sit with them or don't we sit with them? And some said it's fine and some said, we don't know, we don't want to do that. So Paul talks a little bit about this. But the big question they're really asking is not just a food question. It's a way bigger question than that. It's this question. It's how do we honor God in everything we do? How do we live such lives that when you look at the way we live, God is in the center of all of that? It's not just a food question. How do we live our lives to the glory of God? And after saying a few things, Paul says these words in verse 34. Thanks, Sam. Grace. So says Paul, whether you eat, whether you drink. And then there's the big word, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. He says, I'm not going to go over nitpicking. Yes, you should. No, you shouldn't. You should only ask one question. Whatever I do, am I doing it to the glory of God? That's quite the word, isn't it? How do I live to the glory of God in this 21st century, which is a crazy century? I mean, everything has just changed. I think back when I was a young man. Boy, things were kind of in place. If someone said it's red, it's red. Nowadays, you sure it's red? I'm not sure it's red. It might be something else. Everything is in flux. Everything has changed. Things that we thought that were in place are not in place. Everything is upside down. So how do I, in this upside down world where nothing is in place, nothing is true, nothing is... How do I live to the glory of God? In my job, Jamie, when I have to work with teachers, with students, with parents, to the glory of God. In my relationships, with colleagues, with friends, with family, with children, with parents, with my student, fellow students in school, how do I live to the glory of God when I'm challenged in my faith, in my belief, in school, at work, at home, everywhere? How do I live to the glory of God? In the decisions I make or don't make. How do I live to the glory of God when I struggle with doubts in my life? It often overwhelms young people. As we grow up and our bodies change and our lives change and hormones become part of our lives, how do I live to the glory of God with my desires and all of these changes that happen, and how do I harness them to God's glory? In everything, says Jesus, do it to the glory of God. And I would like to say amen. And say, go home and work it out for yourself. That's not why I'm here. I'm here with you to work through God's Word. So let me take you to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. A conversation between God and Moses. Again, a little background. Always important to get the background. My bladder is a little high this morning. Exodus is the book that speaks of God's people who were in Egypt. Slavery, 400 years, hard labor, struggles. And then God leads them out of this place called Egypt, and he's leading them into a place called the Promised Land. He uses a man called Moses to be their leader and to guide them through all of this. It wasn't always just wonderful smelling the roses. It was a hard time. It was tough for them. Was tough for Moses. Chapter 33, we're quite the way into the desert, and we've traveled a little way with the Lord already. And then we find this interesting chapter. Remember what we're talking about. How do I make choices that impact my life so that I can become that person that God wants me to be, so I can live to the honor and the glory of God? Maybe we can say the title for this morning is Decision Pending. You'll decide. I'm going to read 1 to 3, verse 12 to 13 for you first. Exodus 33, verse 12 to 13. And then we'll go to the rest. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, Lord, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send. You've said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' So if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways." We should sing this song one day, Bradley. There is a song called "Teach Me Your Ways." "So I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is yours. Moses starts off, he says, "Lord, you have called me to be a leader for your people. You have called me to take these people and take them through this desert. But Lord, they can't follow me because I'm just Moses. I'm just this Moses guy who messed up and messed up a lot already and still messes up. You promised me that you would send someone with me. Lord, I need you to lead me, and I need you to teach me, because the only way that I can be that servant leader that you want me to be is when I can learn from you. Because only if I learn from you, only if I can follow you and I can take your hand, only then, Lord, can the people say, we'll go with Moses, because they're not following Moses. I'm just the guy that you put in place. They have to look at me and see you, Lord. Because you're the one that calls. You're the one that we need to follow. You're the one that will guide. I'm just the Moses guy. I can't do this if you, Lord, are not there with me. Now look what the Lord says. And the Lord said to Moses, my presence will go with you. Can I interrupt a second? The word presence, you see it's written with a capital letter. Hebrew does not know capital letters. But the reason they write this with a capital letter is because in the Hebrew, the word that they use here is actually panayim. Panayim means face, which is always an image for God personally. So we can say, I will personally. That's why they put the presence with a capital. My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people of the face of the earth? The Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you. Lord, teach me, show me. The Lord says, I'll do more than that. I will be with you. I am pleased with you, and I know your name. Oh, my goodness. I pray, my friends, that every day you will live a life to God's honor and God's glory, so that in the evening, when you say goodnight to everyone, and you say goodnight to your Father in heaven, when you go on your knees, you will hear your Father say, I am. You walked with me. And when you walk with me, my presence will be with you in my job, in my struggles, in my relationships. I can't do it alone. Do it to God's glory. How I will be my presence. And you allow me. Moses says, we're not going to move if you don't go with us. Don't even try that, Lord. Can that be your prayer? I won't move, Lord, if you don't go with me, with your presence with me, and hear those words. I'm pleased with you. Do you know someone else that heard these words? Just this little sight. Did someone else hear these words out loud and clear? Scott, Lord Jesus. When he came from that water, the Father said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with whom I am well. I ask him for his presence. And I say, can I live in the presence? Teach me. Walk with me. I don't want to do this alone. I can't. I want to live to your honor. And God says, if you want to honor me, here's my hand. And at the end of the day, please. And the great thing, God, he even knows your name. It's not kind of, I'm pleased with you, God. Dutchie, I'm pleased with you. I love what you did with the little ones and how you showed my honor to them and showed them my glory. Doris, I'm pleased with you for being on your knees this past week for the loved ones that needed your prayers. And he knows your name. And makes himself and his children that live in his presence. But this Moses guy, man, he's got a little something to him, a little audacity. If it was me, I'd just say, thank you, Lord, for that answer. Look what he does in verse 18. Moses said, show me your glory. And I'm thinking, holy moly, you of all people, now you say, show me your glory. Were you not the guy that saw God in a burning bush? Ours is up there, we can't even see it burning. Were you not the guy who saw God in the burning bush? God spoke to you. Have you not seen God's glory? Are you not the guy who went right into the courts of Pharaoh, threw your staff on the floor, became a snake, and you grabbed it by the tail and became a staff again? Did you not see God's glory? Are you not the guy who saw God do 10 miracles, or we call them plagues, teaching these gods of the Egyptians a lesson? Did you not see God's glory? Are you not the man who stood with the people of God before the Reed Sea, and God opened this Reed Sea and you walked right through it? Are you not the man who went up the mountain and came down with God's 10 words in your hands, glowing so much with the glory of God? And you, Moses, say, show me your glory. Get with the program. And maybe there's something else that we need to understand. I've got to teach you a little bit of Hebrew. Any of these students study any Hebrew? Noah, what's the word for glory in Hebrew? I just put him on the spot and just like a kavod is the Hebrew word for glory. But if you take this Hebrew word kavod, man, I'm impressed with the prophet heritage and these students. Holy smokes. This kavod of Yahweh, of the Lord, if you take it down to its bare root, it actually speaks of substance and essence. So what Moses is saying to God when he says, Lord, show me your kavod, he's saying, what is your substance? What is your essence? What makes you, you? So that I, Lord, allow that to become part of my substance and my essence, and I can show you. Does that make sense? Show me, Lord, what makes you you. This amazing God. So that when I get to know that, then, Lord, I can live your glory because it becomes my substance and my essence. And when people look, they will see you. I can't lead if I do not have your substance. I cannot lead if I do not have you. And I cannot be like you. Then I cannot live to your honor and your glory. So maybe it makes a little more sense when you read that little Hebrew word. But God's answer is even more amazing. Verse 19, I'm going to break it up in two. When Moses asks, the Lord answers. And the Lord says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. If we were waiting for thunder and lightning and smoke and lights and all kinds of stuff to show God's glory, big letdown. God says, I will take my goodness and let my goodness come before. My glory is my goodness that I bring into your life. The way in which I treat you, the way in which I love you, the way in which I care for you, the way in which I carry you, the way in which I am there for you when you go through difficulties. Look at my goodness. Not like a little boy, young teenager is trying to show off to the girls and see my glory. God says, if you want to see my glory, see how good I am to you. I will have mercy, chesed, for the Hebrew scholars, on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion, ruchama, for the Hebrew scholars, on whom I will have ruchama, on whom I will have compassion. These are covenant words. Look at the second thing. Show me your glory. Look at my goodness, and you will see my glory. My goodness that is there for you every day. Show me your glory. I will proclaim my name over you. Can you remember the Old Testament? Old Testament, if a king wanted to conquer a city, and they conquered the city, the people would be brought out, the soldiers stripped naked. People would be put in the center of the city in the square, and the conquering king would be put on the shoulders of these men, carried into the city, and in the middle of the city, the name of this king would be called out, proclaimed over the city to say, you belong to me. The Lord says, I, when you ask for my glory, will proclaim my name over you. I will call you mine, because you belong to me, because I bought you with myself. And then I will give you my name. And God says, I will proclaim my name. God says, my glory is my name. Because my name says, can you remember what it means? I am who I am. I will be who I need to be. I will become what I need to become for you when you need me. I will be the Lord that will help you to become that person. Show me your glory. I am the Lord. I will provide for you through my name so that you will be able to give freely. I will heal you so that you will be able to forgive and be healed and loved. I will so that you can live with me to my honor and to my glory. To live to God's glory doesn't mean trying harder. It means to allow God's name to live in your life. I can change you. Sometimes we're a little glory deficient. And we ask Moses this question. Look what happened to Moses, and you're just going to finish. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I'll remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you must not see. A little glory deficient now and then. Even the book of Romans chapter 3 says, 25, if I remember correctly, all of us have sinned and we are far away from the glory of God. But then, God made a choice to show us His glory even more. He didn't put us in a rock and put His hand before our face. John 1:14 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says,